Good morning, my friends. This is Missionary James Robinette with Mission East Africa, Uganda. And by the gracious will of the great and living God, the one God, the true God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, and the Holy Spirit, it is my blessing to look to the Word of God with you once again this Lord's Day morning. My friends, we're continuing in Ephesians chapter 5 in verse 21 today, and we're looking again at the Bible doctrine of submission to authority. That verse says, submitting to one another in the fear of God. That will bring us into the next section of verses in Ephesians chapter 5, in which the apostle teaches us about relationships and ways of relating in the family. Praise God. Important and much needed teaching in these days in which there is much change and in which there is much discussion and many views offered about family and about the ways that the husband and wife and children are to relate to each other in a family. But we praise God, we thank God that He gives us clear and important teaching about how we are to relate to each other in our families, in godly families, in Christian families. Praise God. And of course, this truth applies to all people. If non-believing families will live in accord with God's principles in the family, as we find them here in Ephesians 5, there is a measure of stability and good that will come to the unbelieving family also. And so we thank God for this wonderful teaching, this real concrete, if you will, teaching about how we are to relate to each other in this most important of human institutions, the family. My friends, our contact number is 0782-652-143, and you can learn more about our ministry. We call it Mission East Africa, Uganda, at our website. You will find us at www.missionafricajk.net. That's www.missionafricajk.net. Praise God. My friends, let us seek Him together now in prayer. Yes, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, great, true, and living God, the one God, praise You, Lord. We remember Your declaration that the Lord is one, that there is one God, and that You have made Yourself known to us, our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, blessed God, through the teaching of the Scripture, through the very word of life, the truth, and by Your Spirit's work in our hearts. Thank You, Lord, that we know You. Thank You that we can receive this important and much needed teaching about how we are to, first of all, relate to You in terms of authority and submission, and then how we are to relate to our family members in terms of submission and authority. Thank You, Lord. Thank You for the blessing that we find in the clear, substantial teaching of the Word of God. And so we pray that once again You will bless this teaching today, that the preaching of the Word would exude the fruit of the Spirit, that You will produce godly character, changed hearts and lives, that You would transform people, the lost and the saved, through Your powerful word, and that You would make men to know You, to trust in You, and to be Christ-like. Help us to grow in grace and in the knowledge of Christ, that we may be saved from our sins, from this perverse and wicked generation. We give You thanks, Father. We worship You, declaring again that You are worthy and that Your word is truth. And we long to receive it. We pray that it will fill our hearts and nourish us and instruct us in these days of confusion. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. And so, my friends, we're continuing in our discussion about authority and submission. And let me begin by reminding you this morning that the word authority that we're using simply means the lawful right to enforce obedience. And the word submission that we're using in these teachings simply means humble obedience to another's will, to subordinate oneself, to obey, to be under obedience, and to put under subjection, to be made subject to those in authority over us. Praise God. Ephesians 5:21 again says, submitting to one another in the fear of God. And we have been talking about different aspects of biblical authority and submission. We've been looking at examples. We've been attempting to flesh out the teaching, the principle, to understand what this means and what it is to look like in our lives. And we want to, this morning, take a last look at an example of authority. And we want to look at verses today which show us the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, of His dominion. And so we begin in Revelation chapter 6. Let me turn there. Turn there with me if you can in your Bibles. Revelation chapter 6. And we want to see the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me read verses 1 and 2. Now I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures saying, with a voice like thunder, come and see. And I looked, and behold, a white horse. He who sat on it had a bow, and a crown was given to him, and he went out conquering and to conquer. Praise God. And so in this chapter, we see that the Lamb of God, who is worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, that is, who is worthy and able to communicate the decree of God, to fulfill the plan of God. The Lamb of God, who knows all that is and all that was and all that is coming, is worthy, he is able to fulfill the decree of the great and living God. That is God's determination to bring all to pass in the creation that he has determined to bring to pass. And so, this one alone, the Son of Man, the Son of God, the Lamb of God, the chapter before, Revelation 5, tells us that he is a lamb who appears to have been slain. That is, he is the Lamb of God, the Messiah King, who died upon the cross for the sins of his people. And so this worthy lamb has redeemed the people of God by his blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation. He is declared to be worthy. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Amen. Every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and those in the sea, all that are in them, all creation declares blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb forever and ever. And so God and the Lamb, who have all authority, praise God, are before us here in these verses, so that the Lamb, with all authority, he has the full, the total authority of God. He is fully, totally God with the Father, is worthy to fulfill and to reveal the decree of God. Praise the Lord. And so in the heavenly presence, four living creatures speak with voices like thunder, calling the inhabitants of heaven to come and witness this awesome work, so that the Lamb now appears, as John looks to see, as a mighty conqueror. He comes with a crown, that is, he is the sovereign. This is a reflection of his total authority, his total sovereignty, his total ability to rule and direct. And he has power in his authority because he has a bow. And he goes out to conquer, and he goes conquering. In other words, he comes forth with full authority. He has all power to execute his will in his authority, and he comes to absolutely overcome his foes, his enemies, and to bring all into absolute subjection to his will. Praise God. This is the Lamb of God, slain before the foundation of the world, yet here seen as the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, the Almighty, who brings all under his power, rule, and reign. Praise the Lord. And we also see in Revelation chapter 19 another picture of the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. Revelation 19, 11 through 16. Praise God. In the New King James Version, "Now I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations, and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." Praise God. And so the authority of Christ Jesus is once again before us here. He is pictured in his total authority as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Notice again the pictures of his authority, these symbols, this expression, this apocalyptic expression, this real photo, if you will, this picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so heaven itself opens up, and in the midst of heaven, the writer calls us, John calls us, to behold, there is a white horse. Now, again, let's just mention this beautiful imagery and draw out meaning from it, because it's so expressive. It's so powerful, and it reveals to us the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. As heaven opens and behold, the King of Kings appears, he is seen to be upon a white horse. And we must remember that at the time of this writing, in the cultures of the time, the most powerful weapon in an army was the war horse. A soldier riding upon a war horse was a formidable foe. This really represents, in a way, the capacity of a nuclear armament at the time. And so when war horses came forth in battle, the very greatest weaponry was being used. And so the king appears on a war horse, upon a white horse, speaking of his righteousness, the righteousness that he possesses as the warrior king. And so, praise God, the horse is white, and he who sits on the horse is called faithful and true. Praise God. Only God, in the fullest sense, is faithful and true. And so God Almighty the Son, in righteousness, judges and makes war, or in his authority, punishes the disobedient. Praise God. And his eyes were like a flame of fire. His vision, if you will, is so complete. He sees all, and his very vision is a consuming fire. For him to see is one and the same as for him to judge. He comes forth in judgment, and on his head were many crowns, an expression which speaks of the, again, fullness of his authority. This is the fullest, truest expression of authority, many crowns. And he has all knowledge, so that upon his very person, his body, is a name written that only he himself knows. God, the all-knowing God, expresses his omniscience here. And so it is that he is clothed with a robe dipped in blood. He is identified. He is called the Word of God. John, the same writer of Revelation, tells us in his gospel and in his epistles that Jesus, the Christ, is the Word of God. And so, as he is upon the war horse, he is clothed, he is robed, and upon his robe, there is this blood. In fact, the robe itself is dipped in blood. Now, this could refer to a few meanings. Isaiah tells us that this same Lamb of God treads the winepress of God. And we find that very expression here again, this truth through John. And so, perhaps it is that the bloody robe, dipped in blood, if you will, is an expression of the truth that he absolutely destroys his enemies, the disobedient to his authority. Perhaps this is an expression to the crucifixion, that is, that he was covered over in his own blood, and therein is his glory. The king that comes forth is the Savior of sinners. In this sense, his robe is dipped with his own blood, and he's called the Word of God. And so he comes forth in the authority of God, the Messiah King. Again, here, the bloody robe would be seen to be a trophy of his conquering grace. Praise the Lord. And so he comes, and the Word of God comes with all authority. The very armies of heaven come. He is the Lord of Sabaoth, the commander of the armies of heaven, the powerful, elect, holy angels who are capable of absolutely subduing demons. All opposition come forth with him. And the armies of heaven are clothed in fine linen, white and clean, again a reflection of righteousness and purity, of holiness. And they follow him in battle on white horses, powerful beings. And out of the mouth of the warrior king, the judge of creation, comes a sharp sword. Praise God. The Bible tells us that the Word of God is like a sharp two-edged sword, so that the word of judgment that comes forth from the mouth of the warrior king strikes the nations and brings them absolute righteous judgment. He punishes all disobedience. And he, the judge himself, the king, the warrior, rules the nations with a rod of iron. This is a reflection of his strength and power and authority to absolutely govern, to absolutely bless and reward obedience, and to absolutely judge sin and disobedience with misery. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. Friends, take courage today. Remember, the Lord Jesus Christ himself is the judge. He is the Almighty God, and he will show forth his power and judgment. His wrath will consume his enemies, will consume your enemies. Praise God. The wrath of the Lamb is strong and powerful. And he has on his robe, this bloody robe, and on his thigh, a name written, he is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He is the absolute sovereign. He is the head of all authority and power. Praise God. And we find in Revelation chapter 20, in verses 11 and 15, another depiction of the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, again, my friends, we have in the book of Revelation and in other prophetic or apocalyptic books, that is, books that deal in symbolic imagery of the coming again of the Lord in judgment, of the revealing of the Lord, these really snapshots, photos, pictures of the great King. And again, this comes to us in an expression, in apocalyptic expression, and with these vivid images. Praise God. And so, as we begin to look at the book of Revelation, we want to understand the truth that the images communicate and convey to us. And so we have another expression in this great and powerful imagery here. And here we see, then I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God. And books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them, and they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And so in this great picture that comes to us now, we see the final judgment. It's called the Great White Throne Judgment. This is the final reckoning. This is where God issues forth the punishment upon his enemies and saves to the uttermost all who believe in him. This is God's final reckoning. This is truly Judgment Day, or the time of final judgment. And so God sits upon this great white throne in absolute purity and holiness. And the very earth and the heaven must flee away before the presence of God, who has come to judge his creation. In fact, the earth and the heaven flee so far away that they cannot be found again. It says there is found no place for them. Again, this is imagery. The earth and the heavens exist. In fact, we see in the next chapter that the new heaven and the new earth come into the fullness of view. But it's as though the very earth and the heaven, again personified, seem to be as a person flee before the greatness of this moment and cannot be found. They have fled so far away. They are expelled from the holy presence of God upon the final throne of judgment. And so all of the dead, small and great, every person is summoned and stands before God. And God issues his final verdict. His final judgment upon every person. And so the evidence is brought forth. The books are opened. It says that there is another book opened, which is the book of life. And those who are saved have their names written in the book of life. And so it is that every person comes to God and he separates them as the wheat is separated from the chaff, and some are separated to his left hand for eternal judgment in the lake of fire, and some are separated to his right hand into everlasting happiness and salvation because they have obeyed the God of absolute and total authority. And so the dead are judged according to their works by the things which are written in the books. This is really a picture of the fact that those saved by the grace of God, not by their works, but saved by the grace of God, have so fully repented that they have lived lives which show forth the saving grace of God. And their works follow them. Their lives have changed. Their actions are seen to be have been done in saving grace. But the wicked, without saving grace, are judged for their every work which is not done in grace. And so the actions of all people reveal before the judge of creation, and he utters judgment upon his revelation, upon their condition. Either they are saved by grace, or they have been lost in their own wickedness. And so there is no escape for any person. Even the sea will give up the dead in it. Death and Hades, that is the abode of the dead, all will come out of the grave. All will come. The dead and the living will stand before him. And each will be judged. His works will reveal the condition of his soul. And then, praise God, death and Hades, that is the realm of the dead, if you will, hell, are cast forever into the lake of fire. This is called the second death. This is eternal damnation, banishment forever in fire, in the lake of fire. Anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And so, the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, who has all authority, judges, and he casts the unbelieving and the unrepentant into the lake of fire. My dear friend, I hope that is not your destiny. I hope that you are not yet unbelieving. I hope that you are not unrepentant at the day of your passing, because if indeed you die as an unrepentant, unbelieving sinner, the word of God is true. God has revealed, and this has never entered into the heart of man to even conceive of such an event, but the word of God has revealed that God himself will cast you into the lake of fire. And that banishment and punishment under the wrath of God will endure forever and ever. I hope and pray that you who are lost today, who are listening, will believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Come and bow and come to him in submission, believing in him as he has commanded you, repenting of your sins as he has commanded you, that you might escape this awful, eternal, painful, absolutely painful destination. That your destination, your destiny, if you will be that as a blessed Son of God, and that you will enjoy absolute blessing, peace, and joy in the presence of God your Father, who has forgiven your sin. The Bible tells us clearly, I was reading just today in the book of Deuteronomy, that there is a curse upon the disobedient, the rebel, and that there is a blessing upon the obedient, the believing, the lawful son who seeks to keep his father's will. And so the ultimate curse is fulfilled here, the second death, eternal damnation, being cast into the lake of fire. My friend, flee from the wrath to come. Flee to Christ Jesus, the Lamb of God, who was slain to save sinners like you. Flee to Christ, and you will find forgiveness and refuge and safety. You will find blessing and eternal life in Him. Praise God. And so the one that we have to do with, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the Almighty God. God the Son, the Almighty, who has all authority, who knows all that can be known, who can do all things, who has all power. This great and awesome God, who is present everywhere, summons those who hear His word today, His gospel today, to flee from the certain and promised judgment and wrath that He will bring upon those who refuse to bow to His authority. And so come and kiss the Son, lest He be angry with you. Father, thank You for this awesome truth. We worship You and declare, Christ Jesus, You are the King upon the throne. You have all authority. Thank You for the Word of God. Thank You for this blessed book of Revelation and for the picture of Your dominion and glory and honor and blessing and power that we see here. Bless it to the hearts of My hearers, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. So, my friends, until next Lord's Day morning, may the Lord Himself bless you.